I'll start it off. I'm Tim McConnell. I'm a program manager on the Windows SharePoint Services team. I own blogs, RSS, among some other features.
Wait a second. SharePoint's like an enterprise product, isn't it?
You could say that, but with the Office
SharePoint
server,
blogs and SharePoint, blogs and RSS haven't gotten to the enterprise yet. You know?
We're trying to get them there.
Okay.
We're trying to get them there.
So where are we? We're in, what, Building 16?
Building 16.
We're SharePoint land.
We're SharePoint and Office server, and we all hang out and make our cool product.
Yeah. And so is this shipping? Am I going to see new stuff that I haven't seen yet?
This is actually, everything we're showing you is in beta 2, so everything we show you is something you can go and download and check out for yourself, and we actually really encourage you to go do
beta
that.
Beta 2 of, well,
what you really
want. There's so many betas out right now, I'm losing my mind trying to keep up with the dog fooding around here.
I mean, really, what I could tell you is you could get Longhorn Server beta 2, install Windows SharePoint Services version 3 beta 2, and then use your Vista client beta 2 to it.
Oh, that's a lot of dog food.
Yeah, but it all works. We've done it. It all works.
So. Yeah, dog food, for the few people who don't know the term, is our internal term for testing out new stuff that hasn't yet shipped.
And we love it when you do that.
Yeah. And so customers on the outside can download server, Longhorn server right now and try this stuff out?
Yeah.
Excellent. And when are you guys planning on shipping this? When is this going to be actually part of a real product?
When Office 2007 makes it out the door?
Ah, probably in 2007, I would guess.
That's what the name says.
That's happened before,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So what are we seeing today?
Oh, well, do you want to give them the rundown so you can introduce yourself?
Who are you?
Oh, okay. I'm just hanging out this office. actually, no, this is my office. So my name is Renee Lowe, and I am a program manager on SharePoint as well, and I've been working on wikis. And so today, with both Tim and I in the office, I'm guessing we're going to do some combination of blogs, wikis, and RSS.
Wow.
And so it's just a demo of basically, hey, look, we've got it in the product. Check it out. It's out there in beta 2.
Okay. So are we seeing a demo? Or?
Yeah, we're
we have PowerPoint slides for, you know.
No PowerPoint on Channel 9.
Zero PowerPoint.
The PowerPoint team is going to have trouble getting on Channel 9 at some point. But
It's all demo, so let's just go with it. So we'll start it off here, and on the screen you see that we have our blog. I'll start it off by let's go visit the Scobalizer.
Oh jeez, I hope I didn't put anything nasty up there today.
I don't.
I put a link to Sun Microsystems up there.
I just want to start this off so we can look at, hey, let's look at a blog that's out there that's really popular. Take a little look at its anatomy and then switch back to SharePoint to see how it goes.
Its popularity is way overblown, by the way.
This guy, you know. Here's a blog site. We got our posts right here, standard layout, just vertical presentation in order of dates.
Yeah.
We've got information here like the categories. We've got the number of comments. We've got the permalink. Over here, we've got a search box. Down here, we've got a calendar archive of it. We've got our blog role, roughly. Standard blog stuff, RSS link, right?
Yep.
Let's just think about that. So here's our SharePoint blog. Right here in the center, here's our main content area. This is where all the posts come. They'll be in chronological order laid out. You can see here that we've got the category related to it. It's permalink. Comments and the number of them.
Does it come with comment spam too?
Depends on how popular you are.
You don't have to be popular to get comment spam. My son gets comment spam and he isn't popular.
Okay. Depends on how many search engines you're on, how many firewalls are in the way.
Yeah.
Here's our RSS feed. You know, over here we've got a link to our archive calendar that shows just a standard SharePoint calendar view with the posts and when they happen.
That's nice looking.
So here's a blog. So that's the standard blog, but what is it about blogs that we like? Well, they made publishing simple for somebody, right? Like, someone said, hey, there's this internet, it's really great, but it's hard to get stuff out there.
Yeah.
And someone's great idea was like, well, there's this notion of people keeping journals, but the thing that really made it great was, let's have a website that just lets it super easy for someone to just put content up there, control that content, its security in publishing it. Let other people make discussions on it. That's super important. And then let other people subscribe to it so you actually have an audience and a community around it.
Right.
So those are all things that we wanted to make sure that we had and that we targeted with this, and that's what I want to show you. So
cool.
Let's start it off with the things I said before about making it easy. So one thing you can do in SharePoint, just because this blog is built on SharePoint, is make email-enabled lists. So I'm going to quickly...
Now, is this the default look and feel, by the way? You haven't done a lot of customization or
this
anything.
Is the default look and feel, and actually, let's just do something really quick here, because you asked that question. I really like, let's say I'm a big fan of SharePoint version 2, which many people may be familiar with. We have this new theme tentatively called Classic.
Right.
And this is my blog, and I really like V2, so I want to make my site look like that. So I just go there, apply a theme, and then you can see that my whole site's changed right now to have a much more familiar V2 look to it.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm just going to do that really quickly. I'll show you some more customization stuff.
I wanted to ask, because SharePoint, when I first started using it, was a little daunting. There was so much there to play with, and I just want to show that it is easy and that you haven't messed with it before you set this up.
No, it can cool. be super easy. We didn't do any crazy stuff to make this happen.
Okay.
All this stuff is just part of the platform.
Cool.
Let me switch over here to Outlook and just send an email message that I will type up quickly, and I'll send it to...
So SharePoint has an email alias that you can send you can send content via email to your blog on SharePoint?
You can send it to any list in SharePoint. So we have a feature where if you have mail set up on your server, SMTP to receive mail, then we will, no matter how many lists you have, they can all have their own unique email address, and our server will pull the SMTP drop folder to find email things and just send them right into the list.
Can I send photos along email and post them right onto onto my SharePoint?
And actually, for any list you make, you can create your own email event handler so that whatever you expect to come into a particular type of list through email, you can do whatever you want with that content.
Email a PowerPoint document or presentation to the SharePoint?
To the document library?
To the SharePoint, to my blog.
So if you just send a file attachment, we will add as attachments to our
SharePoint. Really?
Yeah.
That's killer, because a lot of blog tools don't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Some of them will take email, the text out of the email body, but they won't take attachments and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of other features around email that that Daniel across the hall could tell you about sometime.
Okay.
But we have lots of stuff for the discussion boards and just lists in general.
This makes it really useful for not just enterprise but externally kind of blogs, because at companies, you do a lot of PowerPoint, Excel spreadsheets, and stuff where you want to put it on your blog and have an attachment, and it makes it really easy to do that.
Yeah, and if SharePoint is your file store, it's always good to have a list backing up your DLs, your distribution lists, or any places you like to send email, and you just send it there, and we keep an archive for you in SharePoint, searchable, all that stuff.
Yeah, somebody was on my blog, we were talking about spreadsheets, and they were saying, well, how do you back up Excel? Well, that's a great way to back it up. Just email it to your SharePoint blog, and the latest version is there by date.
Sure.
And you can, what was the version of the spreadsheet I saved 2 months ago? I can go back to that because I emailed it to my blog.
Of course, that's great for offline, but if you're on the internet, you want to use our document libraries to get document versioning and all that stuff. Let's not go back. I just want to say...
See, I told you, SharePoint's too complex. I like the simple blog where you just send stuff into the one URL, and gets you into the SharePoint world, because there is a whole world inside SharePoint.
Yes. And actually, since the blog is kind of something that's much more aimed at just people using SharePoint for a specific purpose, we try our best to make the interface a little bit more streamlined and direct to what you need for the blog, and not...
Right.
necessarily putting all of the SharePoint complexity in front of you, which I'll get to that in a bit.
Okay.
But I just want to show you easy posting. So I'm going to send this email from Outlook.
Okay.
Great. But another thing that's been recently...
So does it automatically, if you refresh your... How long does it take to get onto your blog?
However long the email thing pulls, which I think is once every minute maybe. So as soon as it gets to the server, drops in that drop folder every minute, it'll show up there.
Okay.
So we'll see that in a bit. But the other thing I want to show you, and this is something that actually been recently in the blogosphere spread pretty quickly, was that Word now has Meta Weblog API support in the blog posting. So SharePoint also has Meta Weblog API support.
Oh, really?
So let's switch over here to... Actually, first I'm going to grab this path, because obviously you don't use to a blog.
So I could use any of my client tools that I'm used to using on blog services right now.
BlogJet.
Yeah.
Word.
Radio User World, all those fun things. Yeah.
So let's do a new blog entry, and this is, maybe everyone's already seen this, if you already tried out Word to try your blogging, and if you haven't, please go download the beta.
Okay.
I'm just going to register now, and I'll choose my blog provider, it's a SharePoint site, great.
Yeah.
from that blog URL that I just copied from my SharePoint blog.
Yeah.
Say OK. Register, and I'm going to say hello from Word. I'm going to go grab a category, and I'll say random. And then I'll say hello channel mount again. I'm going to publish this full publish. We do support drafts in our blogs.
Right.
Full publish. Crunch, it's published. Great. I could optionally save this, do it later, and publish it later if I wanted to, but that's all Word.
Okay.
We'll let the Word team talk about that if they haven't already.
Oh, they have. Yeah.
Excellent. So back to my blog. Now, let me talk a little bit before about what I said about making this easy. So if you're a blog owner, you'll just see here that we put the categories, the blog list, which is like our blog role, and the links over here, and you can really easily just add items to them right there on the page if you're the blog owner.
Okay.
Over here we have this web part that only shows up for the blog owners that tells them, hey, this is what you clicked to create a post. If I want to manage my posts, comments, or my categories, I can do this over here. Take a look at everything on the SharePoint site, or just get some information about setting permissions and basically like blog help. Because there's some certain things you want to do with SharePoint to make the blog work better. Let me go here to manage posts.
Okay.
See the post here, and you'll see hello from Word and the test email that I sent. This one I published, it's approved already. This one's pending from email because I didn't want the emails to go directly to my blog site.
Ah, okay.
So that will not be publicly viewable.
Okay. So but you could approve it right there, or?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's probably Dave Weiner calling.
Are you guys doing RSS now?
Let me just turn this thing off. Hold on a second here. Sorry about that.
So, and you can see this showed up now on the homepage when I returned back. The other thing is that
yep.
The set blog permissions, I'm going to go into that a little bit. So since this is built on SharePoint, you have item level security, list level security. You have SharePoint groups to help determine who is allowed to do what on your site.
Right.
And for blogs, that's really important because let's say we have comments and stuff, right? So let's go take a look at a comment. Here's this post saying, welcome to Beta 2. Somebody else responds and is just saying, you know, hey, glasses awesome. I just checked out the Vista Beta. Glasses awesome.
Yeah.
With SharePoint, you can make it so that people can come in and read everything that they need to, open any files or photos they need to, but they can't change anything, they can't edit anything.
Right.
But since comments are all about people changing things on that particular list, you can just say, you know what, I want everyone that gets on the site to have rights to change these. So that's how SharePoint helps us there, because we just don't even have to worry about permission things. People can control and do anything they want to.
Yep.
So aside from preventing people from changing your blog posts or putting on the draft and publish modes to prevent things from coming up if people don't want them to, we have many layers of security and
right.
protection to keep things where they belong and prevent people from seeing
them. Now, it's interesting that you have draft. So you're designing a SharePoint blog to be used by teams as well, right?
Sure.
So that you could have, you know, four people publishing to the blog, but only one person who approves everything?
Sure, exactly.
Ooh, that's cool.
All that stuff.
That's better than a lot of blog tools, because a lot of blog tools don't have any concept of enterprise level workflows, you know.
Right. Well, and that's
you might have a team. Imagine that.
If you want to talk about enterprise level workflow, we actually have a workflow engine built off the Windows Workflow Foundation.
Right.
It's all with SharePoint, so you can just build your own.
Oh, that's a whole other video. Don't get me wrong.
So let me just run back to the homepage there, and
yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about was just the syndication part. And so here you go. Here's our RSS feeds. This is IE6, so you can see our little style sheet here, but obviously it looks gorgeous in IE7. If we were in IE7, and we could actually do it over there, but let's just leave that up to the RSS team's channel 9 video, which hopefully everyone has seen, and where we insert an RSS link element into the page so that IE7 will auto-detect.
Wow, okay.
So we just have different mechanisms to make it really easy to find the RSS, because
yeah.
You know that's something that's, especially in the enterprise, if people aren't familiar, something that's really important, making sure they can get access to that and see that.
So that I take it, for the geeks out there, that's an RSS 2 feed?
Yes,
yeah.
RSS 2.
Yep. If it works with IE7, that's true.
And I'll just do a quick little customization thing, and Renee's going to do a little bit more about this later, but
okay.
This is, a SharePoint site, and this is a SharePoint page. And so we just use standard ASP.NET 2.0 web parts to build this page right here. And you can see that we have three web part zones.
Yeah.
With a bunch of different web parts. I can add or remove web parts if I want to. I can reorder things. Let's say I think that the categories is not so important, so I'll drop them down here to the bottom.
How browser dependent is this? And will it work on other browsers like Firefox or Safari or anything like that? Or do you need IE6 or IE7?
The experience is different. They're not all top tier. Like certain browsers just don't have the same support that we can do in IE, but the experience of changing web parts, you can do it in other browsers.
Right.
It's just not as flashy necessarily.
Okay.
And there's we tried our best to try to keep full fidelity between browsers. That you can't always do it, but we definitely are aware and try to solve this problem.
Okay. Cool. At least it'll work. I'll be able to see my content and enter some content and stuff like that.
Sure.
Okay.
So
in other words, I can use this for a real internet site, outside to the world site, where I don't know what kind of browser people are going to come
to. Sure. One last thing, let me do this here, is go to this list, because you just brought that up, and so I figured I'd make it a point. I don't have it enabled right now. We actually have mobile views, too. So for any SharePoint list, you can take a look at its mobile view, which is really great for mobile phones, small devices, things like
That's something that a lot of blog tools don't do yet either,
right.
And it really pisses me off.
And again,
I have this phone, and I use it to look at a lot of blogs, and a lot of blogs put the content below the nav div tab, and some just totally mess. You can't even read some blogs on phones.
And again, it's just because we built it on SharePoint. So like, one thing we want to stress is both the wikis and the blogs we show you today is basically, you know, SharePoint is your corporate, your enterprise app server, and you can build things like this on SharePoint.
Right.
So we did it. We're shipping it out of the box. We want it to be a great blog experience.
Yeah.
But these kind of experiences are exactly what you can make with SharePoint.
Now, do you do some of the advanced stuff like trackbacks?
Trackbacks is something we're looking at right now, but we did not get out of the box. Obviously, that's really important for internet scenarios.
Yeah.
On the internet, we're hoping that, you know, you post your phone number on your blog. That's great. On the intranet within your corporation, hopefully you've got people's numbers and can get a hold of them.
Yeah.
That's a weakness.
And SharePoint hooks into your Exchange server and puts all sorts of contact information through
that
method anyway.
Yeah. Here, here's Renee. I can go to her. You got Communicator installed. I can see all kinds of information about what she's doing, whether she's free or busy, send her messages, call her, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's also another.
Does it ping weblogs.com or Technorati?
No, we don't have any pinging. That's another thing we're thinking about. But again, application platform, you can certainly build that.
Okay. Cool.
No problem.
Excellent. Very cool.
Okay, so let's move on to Renee so she can talk about wikis.
Wikis! Wee!
Awesome. All right. Let me grab the mouse and keyboard. All right, so we have Tim's blog up here, so let's just say he has a big cult following and he notices that in the last few posts everyone's talking about ergonomics. And so what I would do is let's just go and create a wiki site right underneath his blog site. And we can go create. And you'll notice two things. There's a wiki page library and
First, what is a wiki? Because I'm sure there's at least one or two people, like my mom, who watches these videos, or used to, I'm sorry. What is wiki? You know, for those people who haven't heard that term before or haven't used it before.
Well, I've heard many definitions. Most of them will leave you in a vague state where you're like, gee, thanks, Renee, that really helps.
Yeah.
So I'll try to define it. I always call it collaborative knowledge management, just because it's a place where people can get together and very easily edit content.
Right.
And
to me, it's a web page anybody can edit, right?
Exactly.
You know, so the group of us can all go to one web page and edit it.
And I feel that in order to really appreciate wikis, you really have to you have to see it, and then you actually have to use it. Because I've seen it, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, nice concept. And then I didn't really get into it until I started using it.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that by showing you it right here, you can see it, and then you can choose to try it out yourself. Because once you try it out, you can really understand the power of wikis.
Yeah, it's a great way for a team to build one set of resources. Like, if your team is trying to keep a list of phone numbers of customer contacts,
a list of phone numbers,
it's really great. Have the team just come to one URL and add all the data right there.
The example I always like to use is a new hires page. So, you know, here's the top 10 things you need to do, and that changes over time. And that knowledge is not centralized in one person's head. So as a new hire, I learn something new because the company has changed, and I can go in there and update it for all the people that are coming after me. And so the page relies on knowledge that is not centralized in the person. It's centralized, or it's it goes through many different people, such that you just need one place to hold all that information. Because as people move on, the information disappears.
Cool. Are there different kinds of wikis? Like, is the Microsoft Wiki going to be different from a Simple Text Wiki, which is an outside company that did, that pioneered wikis? Or?
So we're trying to make it as similar as we can. We don't want you, for example, if you use Wikipedia, we don't want you to come to the SharePoint Wiki and say, wow, this is a completely different experience. And so in general, with the linking and just the whole wiki experience, we just try to make it easy for you. Okay. And so whether you think it's easy or not, that would be a good feedback for me. So
yep.
Let's just jump into it.
Cool.
What we are going to do is we're going to create a sub-site under the blog site. And since we wanted to talk about ergonomics, we can say Ergo. And we'll name our site, Ergo as well. You can choose to have unique permissions. So for example, if I want everyone that can contribute to my blog be able to contribute to my wiki, I'll just inherit permissions.
Yeah.
If it's only, you know, three of us in our little inner circle that wants to write on it, then I can just say, you know, these guys have contributor rights, everyone else, you're just readers.
Okay. Can you lock people out completely? If the three of us wanted to do a wiki and we just wanted to be the ones to see it and we want to lock out my boss, can we do that?
Oh yeah, just don't grant him rights to the site. Give your site unique permissions and make it the three of
Excellent.
You.
Excellent.
Right.
We're gonna have the rate Jeff site.
All right, I want in on that. But so in this case, since this is just a demo, I'll just use the same permissions.
Yeah.
Right here, I get to pick the site template, and I'll pick a wiki site. And so here we go. This is our out-of-the-box wiki site. We give you two pages by default. Your home page and the second one that says just basically here's our quick tutorial of how to use a wiki. And so going into home, you can imagine that welcome to your wiki site is not the message I want there for eternity. So all I have to do is I'll just click the edit button here and start filling some information in, and I'll call it Ergo 101. I'm going to leave the rest of the content in there just because I'm just going to assume that it all talks about Ergo now. So if we want to look at wiki linking, we can start creating some links. And in order to create a link, it's just double square brackets. And what can I talk about? Well, we can talk about seating, so ergonomics around chairs. And we can talk about keyboards and mice. And I want to call this one input device so we can have a label. And let's just call that it. And so now you see we have these links, and the links have dotted underlines under them.
Yeah.
That's because they're forward links. They don't point to an actual page yet. And so now that I see this link here, I'm like, okay, well, I wanna have some input around seating.
Yeah.
And once I click it, it says, you know, here's your new wiki page. Why don't you fill in some information?
Right.
And so I can...
It takes a little while to get used to, but... Once you figure that out, it's really powerful because you can just create pages really, really quickly just by doing that little double bracket thing. And it lets you think out your structure of your website right on the top level without having to go and create new page and then go back and then,
exactly.
and then link it up the way we used to have to do it in front page.
Yeah, and I think as people get used to the wiki, once they see those links with the dotted line underneath, at least for myself, I'm like, well, if I know anything there, I'm going to go and throw it in because
this
is, you know, this is a topic that people are going to fill in, and it makes me want to collaborate.
Yeah, a lot of conference organizers have been using wikis, and they'll put the speaker names on a page,
mm-hmm.
and they'll create double under, you know, that kind of link, and then the speaker will have to go in and click
fill
on
in
it
their
and
bio.
Fill it in their bio and whatever else they want on their page. It's really useful.
Exactly.
And then everybody else can go and say, hey, that guy's blowing smoke, you know? So that's where the permissions come in, right?
Yeah, that's where the permissions come in. And so one thing you'll notice here is, as I'm editing this page, we actually have a rich text editor in here.
Yeah.
And so if I wanted to make things bold, you'll see it in here right away. The only syntax you have to remember is the wiki linking, which we've put instructions down here on the bottom.
Right.
And so hopefully it will be a low learning curve.
That's a good question. Does it track who's changing things?
It does. And so let's just create this.
Because that's one way. If somebody wrote something nasty on my speaker page, I would be able to go and say, "Hey, who wrote that?"
Yeah. So right here, right go beside the edit, we have a history.
Ah. Okay.
And so unfortunately we only have two versions right now. But you can imagine something like if I didn't have my permissions locked down enough.
Yeah.
And I was just wanted to be a big jerk today. I would go in here and I said, "Oh, you know, nice try. I'm going to go to size 7, make you red, and say, all your wikis belong to us." And
right.
I'll okay it.
Right.
And so the great thing is because we have version history, we can go back to a previous version and say, nice try, Renee. We're just going to restore it.
Right.
Really wasn't that much effort. I didn't have to retype everything.
Yeah.
Of course, the other thing around version history is it keeps track of who's been contributing to your site and the thought process that has gone into bringing this page to its current state. And so because we have the Office Communicator plugin, or because I have it installed, then I can go in and say, you know, call Renee and ask her, why did you make this change?
Right.
And so that's version history.
Yeah.
Now, like,
that wouldn't be true on external. Well, you would see an email address or whatever somebody put as an identifier. If you had an external wiki, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could set permissions to either disavow anybody external or let the public edit your webpage, right?
I think I'm not too sure. Even with external guys, I think we have some type of authentication.
Okay.
Such that
is it through Passport or?
So I know internally we have some people building Passport authentication
okay.
on top of SharePoint, but it's not something that's going to ship out of the box.
Okay.
It's pluggable, anyway.
Yeah, we have pluggable authentication.
You can build your own authentication model.
Ooh.
And so that's going to be plenty fun if you want
to
do that.
That's for Kim Cameron to go at it, right? Info card.
Yeah, and so if we go to seating,
yeah,
we have incoming links, which is the last button on what we call the mini console on the top. And if you click that, you can just see what pages are linked to yours. Since we just created this blog or this wiki, we only have one link. But this is just the typical incoming links mentality for wikis.
Cool. Nothing. Kim Cameron, by the way, is the architect on the identity team here. So that's where that, if people didn't recognize his name.
Uh-huh.
So he does one of the identity blogs. I forget what his blog name is.
Yeah.
Really good.
And so basically that was the basic wiki functionality. But because wikis is built on top of SharePoint, then
yeah.
we get a lot of great SharePoint functionality as well. For one is the granular permissions that we talked about. So each individual page can have its own set of rights. So for example, if I feel a certain page is not ready for public consumption yet, or even within my set of contributors, I don't feel that everyone should see
and
it.
The rights are by page, not you can't have different pieces of the page that have different rights.
Yeah, it has to be for the whole page.
Okay.
And you can also lock down the whole wiki.
Okay.
So for example, let's go into this wiki and let's add an extra column. For metadata. So as you see, this is just, wikis is just built on top of the SharePoint library.
Yeah.
And so this wiki pages is what we call a wiki page library. You saw this previously when I went to the create page and I said, hey, look, a wiki page library, but I created a wiki through the sites and workspace link.
Got it.
Now the difference is the sites and workspace, if I go and create a wiki from there, it creates an actual site and it gives it a little bit more information.
Right.
So if you look at our homepage, this section recent changes is part of the wiki's site template, and also right here all pages, the link to home and the link to how to use this wiki are part of the site template.
Right.
But the actual contents of the wiki itself is built on top of a wiki page library.
Got it.
So as a result, if you actually wanted to house your wiki within the blog site instead of creating a subsite, you can do that. Except the experience right now is not optimal because we're still improving the wiki page library experience.
Got it.
So for example, if you click into it right now, you see this view, in which case you're like, oh, you know, what's the first page I want to see?
Right.
And so this is something we're improving.
Now, if you created me a Robert Scoble wiki page, right,
mm-hmm.
does it inherit, do any pages I create off of that page inherit my permissions?
By default, it inherits the permissions unless you choose that this particular page needs a different permission set.
Okay, good. And then from that, let's say I create a subpage for
mm-hmm.
you, Does it inherit your page's permissions or my page's permissions?
If you create a subpage for me,
yeah,
then my page has the same permissions as your page.
Right, but if I set different permissions for your page,
mm-hmm.
does so then you start creating
then you've just broken me off and I have my own set of permissions. I can't mess with your permissions on your page.
So that's really cool. That's cool stuff because it makes it a lot easier for people to create websites.
So say, for example, what I want to do now is my wiki page, it has a content section, but I want to have more. I want to go ahead and create a column, and I want to say that each page has, if I turn caps lock off, each page has an area expert, and it is of type person and group. And if I scroll down, I want to show it with name, picture, and details. And so what I can do now is on my wiki site, for my seedings page, I want to say that I am the expert for this page. And so I can go into edit properties, and you see our usual, we have the name, the rich text editor, and on the bottom we have the extra field that I added. And so I can type in my alias here and resolve it, and it says, okay, great, Renee is the area expert for ergonomics around seating. And if we actually go to the page, we can see the text on top, you know, probably more than one line,
yeah.
and an area expert on the bottom. And so to better visualize this, let's just actually put it on the home page where we have a bit more text. And so you can see as people are collaborating on the page, they can just say, well, you know, I'm not too sure about something, let me contact the area expert. But
yeah.
that by no means locks down the page to myself.
Right. Click that little clock next to your name, by the way.
All right.
Because that's the power of SharePoint and the Microsoft properties. Is the integration to all the other information sources.
Because mm-hmm.
that's not SharePoint anymore, right?
This is not SharePoint.
That's pulling from another server where your corporate data is stored.
Exactly.
And it's always up to date. So if you get a promotion today because you did a good job on Channel 9, it'll update your title and all that information there, right?
Correct, yeah.
And you don't have to go around to every page and make sure that your latest title
is... Yeah, it
is
keeps itself up to date.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that people don't get until they start using SharePoint and
uh-huh.
start seeing the power of this integration.
Yeah. So one more thing I'm going to do this to this page is not only can I edit the content, but there is a web part zone on the bottom, and so I can add web parts. So perhaps one thing I want to do is not only do I want to talk about ergonomics, but I want to show pictures of stretching exercises I've borrowed or ripped from the web.
Right.
And so let's go ahead and create a picture library. Because SharePoint comes with picture libraries.
You're not an intellectual property thief, are you?
We're deleting this very soon.
This is just a demonstration, not in real world.
So let's go and create a picture library.
All right.
And I can go and upload my borrowed photos. Oh, okay. Maybe I can't find my dialog box, so let's use the alternate way. So here's a bunch of exercises. I can upload them all. And it's all in my picture library. And what I can do is I can go back to my home page and I can say, well, I want to edit this page.
Right.
And notice there was two edits. One was this edit, which actually edits the content of the page. And the second was I actually want to edit the page itself. And these require different rights. If I just want to edit the contents of the page,
yeah.
all I have to be is a contributor. If I actually want to add web parts, I actually have to be at least a designer.
Yeah.
On the page because there's a potential of running code. So I've added my exercise library and it just shows up on the bottom. And you can imagine later that we probably want to have an individual page to explain what each of these exercises actually are.
Yeah.
But this is basically, you know, if you want to drop a web part in there, it's really easy. I've seen web parts out there that is basically a rate this page web part.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine that I can drop that in fairly easily as well, rate my wiki page, each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of flexibility around the contents that you can put into your wiki. And of course, now that we have an area expert on the wiki, then one thing that we might want to do is we want to go to all pages. And since I'm the area expert for the home page, I can set alerts on the home page such that if people go in and change my homepage, I'll get mail. And I don't want to get mail immediately because it's not really that urgent for me, so I'll just say send it to me as a daily summary every now and then.
Okay.
And of course, the other way to stay up to date with the changes on your site or what's been happening without actually getting mail in your inbox is RSS.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to hand it back off to Tim to talk a bit about RSS.
And let me quickly also just say that, you know, she showed editing the page, she showed editing the higher level content page that contains the information itself.
Yeah.
But you can also, like, we are an ASP.NET 2.0 app built with master pages. You can crack that open with SharePoint Designer and then really go nuts on it. Yeah. You know, really just customize it to the T, whatever you want to do. Add web parts, add whole new content placeholders, and just completely change your site if you want to.
Yeah.
Like, we're a platform, and you can really go nuts on top of us, too. So this is all kind of common look and feel. That's really great if you're trying to get standard on the enterprise and if people are already familiar with this SharePoint layout. But, you know, if you want to make your own master page or just change everything for your company, SharePoint Designer is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
Just get in there and really go nuts with things. But
very cool.
The segue was for RSS, so let's go back to that. So I'm going to start on the team site and just say that I showed it really quickly that here was an RSS. I want to go to this one. I linked to the wrong thing. Well, let's just do it this way. I think I confused I there. Let me hold on a second. Okay. So here's our RSS feed. Basically, the way it works is we take a list in SharePoint and we map it to the RSS channel.
Okay.
And for every item in the SharePoint list, we map it to the RSS item.
Right.
And then we just, since RSS items can have an arbitrary amount of columns and fields associated with them, like all kinds of metadata,
yeah,
we just regurgitate that information into the RSS feed so that you get everything that you want to have there.
Right. Are you using the list extension so that the lists in the feed reader can stay looking like a list, or is it all reverse chronological order?
So we have two modes depending on what I'll talk about later, which is our view feeds,
okay,
on whether or not you're just doing an RSS streaming kind of feed or if you actually want it to be a distinct list.
Yeah.
We'll switch between whether it's just an RSS feed and then the list extensions list type, you know, view feed versus list.
Right.
What we don't have is the full metadata support. That was just something that couldn't get around to this release, sadly. We worked a lot with the RSS team in IE and Windows, and we wanted to make it happen, but we just couldn't squeeze it.
Okay.
But obviously that's just an obvious logical next step for this. Just put all of the content that, obviously it's RSS, you got to make it readable to regular readers. That's like, you know, rule number one of RSS. But for any metadata we show, we can just kind of duplicate that information, and then people can really take advantage of the RSS platform and muck with the XML and all that metadata.
Right.
Not there, unfortunately.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out the kind of the structure of how we do our RSS feeds.
Yeah. Now, what was the difference between the high priority and low priority? What's that?
Well, so that was actually, these are just two different items. I just wanted
two different items.
The difference here is, and we'll actually take a look at it now, because my next thing is the view feeds, is that right now you'll see that here's a SharePoint list. It's got two items. One is assigned to this lab user, and one is assigned to me.
Yeah.
And since it's assigned to, I'm going to quickly edit this item and assign it to Renee, because I'm not logged into this computer right now. This
okay.
Really easy to reassign that. Okay, so I'm going to view my tasks, because that's the thing with SharePoint. You can create views on any of the data you create in your lists.
Yep.
And so right now I'm only looking at the low priority task that's actually assigned to me, Renee. So the RSS feed I showed you before, that shows all the items. This is for the list. It just shows everything. But there's going to be a lot of times where people don't want to see all of the tasks in the task list. They just want to see their own. So if I go back to the home page, I've created this link to the view feed. And so this is an RSS view feed on that My Tasks view.
Right.
And you'll see here that if I open this up, I will only see the specific tasks that are assigned to. Let me refresh this because I don't think that this is. Let me do that. That might still be cached from what it was assigned to. Yeah.
Ah.
I feel I've either. So here you can see that if Renee chose to, she could only see the tasks assigned to her. And so that's one of the things. We have RSS feeds on the list, but you can also pick any view on that list and take a look at it.
That's interesting, because all my Channel 9 schedules are in a SharePoint list like this.
Mm-hmm.
Could I see just things that are, like, approved?
You could do sorting. You could do any filtering on any of the fields you wanted to.
Oh.
So any of the metadata you add, you can do any filtering.
So my boss could just watch what's approved, and so he'll know what's going to come on Channel 9, like, in the next week.
Sure.
That's cool. Very cool.
So the other thing I want to get into is the anatomy. So if you go to this is the task list. If you go to its list settings, we have a whole page just for RSS, for each list. And here's where you can pick, like, hey, do I want RSS to even be on or not?
Right.
If we have large text fields, do I want to be able to truncate them? I can customize some of the RSS standard metadata, like title, description, the image URL.
Yeah.
And then down here is where I can pick which columns do I actually want to show up in the RSS feed. And so for the standard list view, you can just customize it whatever you want. Like, let's say, in general, you don't need to show all these columns. You only really need to show the priority and who it's assigned to.
Yeah.
And then we also have different limits on, like, how many items should we include and the number of days to include. And that's just to, you know, give you control so you're not always generating these gigantic RSS feeds for everything you do.
Yep.
Okay, so that's just a quick look at our feeds. I already talked about it when I talked about blogs, about one of the things about RSS that's important is making it easy to find. And we talked about that, how if you're on a list view, we will put the auto-detect thing that you can see in IE7 or any of the modern browsers.
Right, you're not using IE7 there, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. So on IE7, the RSS icon lights up.
Lights up. And you can subscribe to it. Bang, right away.
Yep.
And again, just on every list, it's an action just to view the RSS.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail here on our shared documents list. So here's a documents list that's got just a bunch of pictures in it. And the thing about documents is, in that RSS supports, is the concept of an enclosure, of associating a document with an RSS item. So for our document libraries that have documents, we have a special RSS settings that lets you do a couple things. One thing is just include the file enclosures for the items in the feed.
Yeah.
And so that way, if there's some particular document library you're subscribed to, and you always want to actually have those files, let's say in Outlook, offline, you can just subscribe to it with the enclosures, and then you can let your RSS reader, you know, get those files, automatically download them, and have a local cache. There's no syncing there, obviously. This is RSS. It's in its current state, it's not a two-way thing. But if it's just something you need so that on the airplane you can take a look at that document and crack it open and review it, it's going to be there in your attachments to your Outlook RSS items.
Okay.
The other thing you can do, and this is just good because when you have files in an RSS feed, SharePoint always has an item that is associated with the file. And the link to that item is not always the same as the link to the file. Like, you know, you might see, if you click on the document link, you'll see the item and you'll see all the metadata associated with it and who changed it. But a lot of times you just actually want to click on that link in the RSS feed and get the document directly. So we have another setting here which just says, link the RSS item directly to the file.
Got it.
Don't give me that middleman. Don't make me go to the SharePoint site page. I just want to go straight to the document.
Right.
Move up that there. And then again, the standard metadata choices that you can have for the RSS. Another thing I quickly wanted to show was that aside from SharePoint having RSS on everything, on every list, view feeds, all of the security that you get with SharePoint is built in. So if you do an RSS feed on some list that has item level security with a general legacy, you're not going to see anything. I mean, we always make sure that it's security trimmed.
Interesting.
So again, what you were saying, like if you have a wiki library and there are certain pages that certain people aren't allowed to see,
yeah,
they get an RSS feed to that, they're not going to see those things. Like we always enforce security.
Okay, cool. Can I make it so that the RSS feed itself can only be subscribed to by certain people?
Well, so it's essentially bound to the list security. So anyone that can see the list can see the RSS feed.
Right.
If there's a different reason why, you know, you don't think this, you think certain people should just be allowed to see the RSS feed or vice versa, it's all bound together. So
okay,
you get one or the other.
I see. So if I run the Windows Vista site here at work and I want Bill Gates to see the RSS feed and I don't want you to see the RSS feed, I'd have to just keep you from seeing the Windows Vista site altogether. Right?
Well, right, but again, these feeds are on lists and not sites. So you have access at the site level and at the list level for the security. So if there's, like, let's say on the Vista site, Bill Gates is only allowed special access to a particular list. Let's say everyone's supposed to see the site, but there's lists that are secure. Then you just put the security on that list. And
got it.
That's the way you'd enforce that.
Okay.
And so I just showed some of the things about the simplicity of finding the RSS feeds and all that. But I also want to show some other features aside from just list feeds that you can do and the view feeds. Is if I go to... seem to find the link now. There's another site that I wanted to show you. Okay, I'll just see that.
The power of the URL. That's where I got lots of SharePoint. There's so much of SharePoint, it's like, where do I go?
Oh, wait, there it was. It was on the blog. And Renee does not have access to this site. So let me do something really quickly. Another nice feature of SharePoint is I can just sign into a different user while I'm there. Go to this different site. I'm logged in IE as that user. Oh, I don't know what's going on there.
Did you refresh?
Let me just try it from the home page. Figure out what's going on here.
I don't think it, you might need to refresh.
It's angry.
Is it? It doesn't like you.
I really want to.
You're administrator locked you out.
I really want to show these things. So let
you're
me.
You're still
I can,
logged in as Renee though.
Maybe if I change. I don't think I'm actually left. Yeah, sorry. Thank you for pointing that out. Renee really should have a rights to that site.
Are you locking me out of the site?
Apparently, I don't even have access to the site anymore. So something happened in my site. Maybe someone's playing with that right now.
Yeah.
The thing that I want to show you, and I can do it roughly here. So let's just say I do a search here, and I don't think that this is going to show up correctly because of something happened and I got locked out of my own site in, since I came over here. Let me try being... Anyways, what I want to show you is that the Office Server products that are built on top of SharePoint also have some really great RSS features. Okay. And basically, one is that they have a content by query web part, where you can make add a web part to a page that just searches for particular content types on the SharePoint site. So let's say that Let's say that you have a pages library that has a bunch of pages, but there are different types of pages. Like one might be a press release, one might be a news release, one might be an internal type of page.
Right.
You can create this query that says, I want you to find all of the news pages in this site and everything underneath me. Right? And you can just roll that up into this web part, which is called content query.
Okay.
So you can see one right here, and it's actually searching for a lot of information on the site, multiple different content types, like different pages and different sites here. But it just rolls all this information up.
Okay.
Well, since that content is really relevant to you, like I might want to know where my news page, what my new news pages are for this entire site collection. But with SharePoint lists, you know, you get an RSS feed on a list. We don't have these big roll-ups. We don't cross across multiple sites or multiple site collections or anything like that.
Right.
But that's what Office Server adds on top. And so you can see here that there's an RSS link here. So I can get an RSS feed to this content query web part so that I can custom create a query that gets me data from anywhere in my site collection, and then it'll roll it up. And so you can see this one's a little bit rougher around the edges in regards to having the style sheet stuff, but it's still the RSS information you want to see when you get to Outlook.
Right. Now, if you had IE7, that would have been translated into a friendly page.
And IE7 always translates to a friendly page. The other thing is
how come you're not dogfooding IE7?
I am on my other machine.
Yeah, we're on
the I'm getting there.
Dean pays me $1 every time I bug an employee.
that's the mega dogfood machine
mega
right
machine.
There.
It's the tablet running Vista Beta 2 and Office Client Beta 2.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
But let's just also do a quick search here on this and see. I don't know if the crawler is actually running on this machine, which would be my problem, but... Okay, so I put an RSS here. Let's suppose we got search results back. But one thing you'll notice is that there's two things on the Office Server platform we have here, which is the alerts on a search.
Yep.
Tell me if a search changed, and RSS feeds on a search. So there's not going to be any items in here, obviously, if I open this up. But it's just great because, you know, if I'm someone that owns a certain topic area or a certain technology or just there's something I'm interested in my company, right? You've got Office Server installed. You've got Office Server Enterprise Search, right? It knows it's indexing your entire company.
Okay.
And you can just subscribe to an RSS feed on, let's say, IPv6 if you're a network admin, right?
Yeah.
You subscribe to that feed, and when people talk about it in your company, you can find out. And you can go to that place, and you can talk to those people and get in touch with them, and you can make things happen.
Interesting.
And so that's
and the alerts look like the little IM alerts at the bottom of the screen? Is
well,
the kind of alerts you
no, these are alerts are actually the alerts that Renee was showing earlier, just email alerts.
Ah, okay.
But the RSS feed thing is obviously just like, you know, it's alerts are great, but they go in your inbox. And, you know, one of the great things about RSS is it just doesn't get in your inbox.
Yeah.
It's a different type of reading experience.
Yeah.
It's about aggregating and doing things casually and just having time set aside for RSS.
No, and it doesn't mess up your email flow. Email should be for two-way conversation with people, you know. Hey, can you give me a report? Yes, here's a report. You know, two-way kind of conversation. It shouldn't be for reporting or for looking at information.
Right.
Because if you stick that into separate folders, it keeps your inbox clean for when your boss is yelling at you, you know.
Yeah. So
otherwise, there's too much clutter there, and you never see when your boss is yelling at you, you get fired.
That's something we all want to avoid.
Yeah.
And RSS is a way to help you avoid that.
Yep.
So let me just quickly go here now. So we've been talking about the places you can get access to RSS and the value of RSS in just the sense of I can aggregate and grab a bunch of data from places, read it on my own time. And so here it is in Outlook. And as you can see here, I've subscribed to...
Now, is this the new Outlook, Outlook 2007?
Yes, it is.
Oh, cool.
Okay. And here's the RSS subscription.
I think that's the first time we've seen the RSS aggregator in 2007, so at least on Channel 9.
Yeah, there it is right here on the right inside your mailbox. You've got your RSS subscriptions folder.
Yeah.
And here's the blog posts. There was the posts I made. And I think I'm going to have to... I don't know what the refresh time is set for this, so I'm going to set that off to download that.
Yeah.
Folder since I made those posts, those more recent posts.
Yep.
But here you can just see the document library where I just showed those pictures that had the enclosures, and bang, right there, there's a link to the enclosure.
Okay.
Easy to get to it in Outlook. You can also tell Outlook if you want to download the enclosures. And over here on the blog post is here. I just refreshed that. You can see here, or those are my new posts that I did from work. Something that I would love to show you, and that the RSS team, I believe, might have shown you before already, on the Vista machine with the full IE7 and the RSS platform in Windows, is that if I'm in SharePoint, pull that back up. If I'm in my SharePoint site, and I go to posts and view the RSS feed. If this is IE7, it would obviously have the IE7 style sheet, but this one's ours is pretty similar in the sense that here's the subscribe to feed thing, right? If I click on this, right now, it just throws it up to Outlook because Outlook's the registered RSS read on that page. But if IE was there, IE would sniff it and say, oh, do you want to subscribe to this?
Yeah.
Yes, right? I'd subscribe to it. It would be in the Windows RSS platform that IE is just a consumer of, right?
Yeah.
But Outlook's also a consumer. So as soon as I subscribe to that in IE, really fast in the browser, it's going to show up in my Outlook too.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to like switch context. I don't ever have to go to my inbox, and I don't even have to have Outlook open. You know, like tricking me with its toes popping up all the time and keeping
me distracted.
And it'll
show up in any other aggregator that's built on top of the Windows RSS platform.
Exactly.
Right? So
that's just.
And there are others coming, not just Outlook and IE. There are. I know some third parties who are working on aggregators for Windows Vista, so that they take advantage of the store that's in Windows.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's great too, and it's just. Obviously, it's not a feature we own, but it's something that we're really excited about because you know you're going to be in SharePoint. Everybody's in their their browsers all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to see RSS feeds. You want the subscription to be really easy, and you just want that. You want it to be in all the apps that you care about. And
it's,
with the RSS platform, it's there.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
So that's kind of a quick run through of all these little features we can show you for RSS.
Yeah. Cool stuff. SharePoint's looking pretty rocking. So can't wait till this comes out. Few more months, huh? 2007.
Yeah. Busy months, but it's definitely going to be worth it. It's just it's a great product, and we think that these community type things, you know, having blogs, having wikis, you know, getting an audience participating with RSS, just building up those communities and getting people to discuss things is going to be really great. You know, like we already started with a collaboration with SharePoint. And that's what we had in V2, and we're really trying to bolster that in V3.
Yeah.
But the notion of community is something that we're really trying to bring in V3 as well, and just you know get people interested. Which I guess if there was some takeaway, or if there was some call to action for you know this video or for our beta is just you know try out our servers. You know. Start a blog, tell other people about them. You know, if you've got a corporation with Office Server, and you've got My Sites, tell everyone with a My Site, you know, make a blog on your My Site. Start talking, start discussions there. Get people to come and comment. You know, if you're the person that's in charge of this stuff, you know, you add comments. You join the discussion. And the same thing with wikis. Like, go to teams, if they're making specs or if they're making certain long documents, you know, help them work on those things. Give your input. Really participate, because that's what it's all about. It's about building this community, and that's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, use our betas. Use the client and use the great integration to make things simple for you, and then you know, work with the community, make yeah. things happen.
We probably should mention, we should say thanks to Ward Cunningham, who invented the wiki, and Dave
yes.
Weiner, who popularized RSS, too, and was the first one to show me and edit this page feature, which you guys have used
yeah.
quite well here. So.
Exactly. No, and those are actually both guys that we've talked to during the history of these things, so we care about what the community in the broader sense is, not just like, you know, your corporate community, but also just, you know, the entire internet and everybody that's interested in these type of community things. We've tried to pay attention on, you know, what's a good experience, what's the right technologies to use, and we really want feedback on that stuff.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.